Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. And I hope wherever you are staying warm and healthy. But that probably only includes a small fraction of our audience and probably only on the coasts, maybe down in Florida, maybe a little bit of Southern California. The rest of the country is going through some horrific weather. So, again, hopefully you're all good and you're staying warm, especially where I am in the Texas area. Wow, it's just been horrific and historic weather that we're having here. So stay tight, but we're going to get entertain you here for a little bit. We have our good friend Art Sellinger joining us, and he happens to be in one of the places I just mentioned that's warmest, as only Art can do. He's in Florida, in Tampa, and we'll have him explain what he's doing other than staying warm in the Tampa area and maybe celebrating a Super Bowl victory while he's there. In the meantime, the Midwest and, as I said, the greater part of the country, frozen, and that might include, I don't know, I don't live there, but Nashville, Tennessee, where we find our Frank Bassett. What's the weather like there in Nashville, Frank?
I can't feel my face.
It's not good, huh? It's colder here than it is in Anchorage, Alaska. We have a -5 wind chill today. Wow. It's 10 degrees or 9 degrees outside. Snow, ice. Yep. We have like an inch of ice and then 3 or 4 inches of snow on top of it. And it's just a glorious day for me to, if I could get to the airport, I'd go see Art. I would be out of here. Yes. I would be in Tampa.
A place to go.
You
betcha. If an airline would actually take off. My daughter actually flew yesterday from Aspen. She was in Colorado, didn't change much, and went back to Chicago. They actually landed the plane. She took a picture out the window.
Why?
You could almost, it was like a whiteout. You couldn't even see the runway. I go, how did that plane land at O'Hare? Other than they know how to land planes at O'Hare in this kind of weather, I guess. But she got in. So it was, but it's scary. It's, Frank, I'm telling you, it's, here in Texas, it is historically, we're hitting like all-time lows for our highs, if you know what I'm saying.
I saw Dennis.
It's never gotten this cold.
I saw Dennis Quaid on skis go by the house with a backpack on earlier today, like in The Day After Tomorrow, the movie.
Yes.
The
yes.
apocalyptic what, ice freeze. It's ridiculous.
I actually had a picture that I sent to some people. I'll send it to you, Frank, when we're done. I'll send it to Art to make him feel bad, although it won't really
he
have
won't
any effect.
Feel bad.
But
I feel
picture,
bad.
Picture.
My stores are closed for 5 days, man. I don't
it was,
like it.
Was a, hang on. We'll get to you. It was a picture of Galveston Beach, right? On
yeah.
the Gulf, Galveston Beach.
Yeah.
And where there normally would be sand leading up to the water,
yeah.
it was snow.
Yeah.
The beach was covered with snow, and not like 8 inches, but, you know, a good inch or so of snow. And then all across the street were all the palm trees and swaying, that's all snow. And it's on the Gulf, right on the Gulf Coast. It's going all the way down into Mexico, this cold weather. So it's crazy, crazy cold. You heard from him. He can't
frozen
contain himself
tacos
anymore.
For breakfast.
He wants to tell us how it's already 75 in Tampa. Art Sellinger, long drive extraordinaire, and Mr. Golf himself joins us. How you doing there, Art? Tell us how the weather is, since we've all been complaining
well,
here about
gonna,
what's it like in Tennessee.
A pants day today in Tampa. I looked. It's going to be 64, but it'll be back up. In the 80s, so I am very lucky to be here. I've been in Florida quite a bit the last 10 days, getting ready to play a nice big senior amateur golf event this week. So I'm one of the lucky few, and I'm happy for that. So, but it is nice here, and we will get some rain one day, but today's my first practice day on this golf course. I'm going to have a look, and I'm excited about playing this golf tournament.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. It's a Gasparilla Invitational, and as we were talking here just a few minutes ago, we found out that Frank himself was a member there back in the early 30s with Bobby Jones and some of the other
nice,
boys.
Nice.
Right.
When it started. This tournament has a rich history.
Yeah.
It does.
It's a mid-am and a senior-am. It goes back well over 50 years, and it's really quite a party and a big golf tournament. Before the Christmas holiday and before my knee surgery, I was fortunate in my first big national senior amateur event, which is the Dixie Amateur. I got my amateur status back. It took 2 years from the USGA.
Right.
And I took third at the Dixie Amateur, and that got me 3 invites to 3 senior major amateur tournaments on the schedule this spring, this one, and then in 2 weeks in Ocala, and then the Carlton Woods Invitational in May. So this is a big one, and I'm excited about playing. There are some friends of mine in Texas that are good players that will not be making it because of the airports and flight cancellations. But I'm excited about this one. The golf course is nasty. It's short. It's tight. The rough's high. The greens are firm. It's an old Donald Ross. And I've been practicing. I've hit more wedges, I think, in the last 7 days than I have in the last 7 years, and been working on the putter. And I'm excited for this test, my first event since my surgery. So it should be fun.
Palmacea Country Club, tiny Donald Ross greens.
Yes.
A lot of trees, got a lot of trees, yes. And rock hard conditions. It's that golf course is not long, but it is brutally difficult. They're going to set it up to kill you.
Eight over par made the cut last year. And these, listen, I played my first big national senior event. The one before I played was the South Carolina Senior Am, and I took 10th place in that one. I had a bad back nine the last day. And so you don't really measure up nationally, but down at the Dixie, I played really good. I took third, and I got a feeling, you know, for what national senior amateur golf is like. And these players are really good. And to know that eight over par made the cut last year,
that's brutal.
It makes me want to grab a little bit bigger bottle of Grey Goose than I'm planning on bringing out today.
Let me tell you that if you just leave Palmacea and head down to Bayshore, and run straight down to Florida Yacht Club, which is just right there within a mile of the Country Club, they've got a lot of Grey Goose there. And that's where it's the home of Ye Mystic Crew of Gasparilla, which, much like New Orleans, we have the same thing. When I lived in Tampa, I was a member of that crew. And you know, you saw the boat in the flotilla for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers parade? That ship is owned by Ye Mystic Crew, by our crew down in Florida. And we all dress up like pirates and come in on it and take the city every year during the Festival of Gasparilla. So that's Jose Gaspar, the supposed pirate who captured Tampa. So that is a party extraordinaire in Florida.
Yeah, they said last year they had over 1,000 people watch the final groups coming down the stretch. Now, with COVID or whatever, I don't know what they're going to do, but this tournament sounds really cool. I was so pleased to get an invite, and I'm going to try and make the best of it. So
it's going to be a blast for you.
That's what I got going on. A lot of other stuff going on actually, in golf other than my rig.
You're also real close to Burns Steakhouse right there. So one of the most famous steakhouses in the country.
It's actually got a really cool history, though, Art, because before it actually was a PGA Tour. It was a professional event. It started back in the 30s. Paul Runyon, you know, some great old names, Hagen, some guys that have played in this tournament and in this on this golf course. So it goes back that far. And then it switched in, I believe, around mid-50s, 56 or so. It actually became an amateur tournament, which is where you're at now, the Gasparilla Invitational, an amateur tournament. But back in the day, here's some fun facts I dug up, is that the first winner, Paul Runyon, Hall of Fame, golf Hall of Famer, he won, and he was paid in gold coins, a bag of gold coins, just to keep the whole pirate thing going. $900 worth of gold coins he got when he won back in like 1932. So that's kind of cool. I didn't really even realize that the whole pirate origin, if you will, of Tampa. Frank, we could have a whole other show about that. I love pirate stuff. There's something buried on that golf course, isn't there, Frank? Somebody buried something there. You know that.
Yeah, I buried a four iron in the green one day. And
there's something in there.
It's a lot of history there. And when he brought it up, I was trying to put two and two together, and I was a little foggy this morning, and then I realized, that's the old Palmacea Country Club tournament. So, it's great town. Cool. Tampa, great town. Just fabulous town. Congratulations to the Bucks. Told you they were going to do it, too, by the way.
Yeah, best of luck. What did you think about that game, Mark, before you usually go to Vegas, and I normally ask you to put a bet down for me, but the COVID and everything else, so you and your buddies didn't get out to Vegas for the Super Bowl. Where would you have gone? What would you have done if you were putting money on that game?
I did bet the game, and I bet Tampa and the under, and was very successful. I bet Brady throughout the whole playoffs, and have a witness the day of the trade when he was traded. I did say the odds were 25-1 they win the Super Bowl, and I called that one, Timmy. I'm a Brady homer. I mean, the man to me, real quick. Here's my football analogy. You think about who he's won Super Bowls with, and how many will wear yellow Hall of Fame coats there in New England? Not that many. There's some that he's played with. But he makes average players play out of their mind. I believe they're scared to death to make a mistake, and they just play out of their mind for him. And he's just a leader and a winner. And I had Tampa in the under, so have a little spending money for the Gasparilla here.
There you go.
Who would have bet? You could have gotten a good bet on this one that Kansas City would not even get in the end zone.
Oh, I'd have never.
If they would have held them to 3 field goals, you could have made $1 million on that bet with a $1,000 bet probably, yeah. Art, because you're right. I mean, it was Tampa and it was Brady. You got to give a lot of credit to that defense. I mean, to hold that Kansas City offense,
they play out of their mind.
Unheard of.
You could have got plus 750 that there wasn't going to be a streaker, but they pulled that one off as well.
I thought that was Art. Was that not Art?
It was that Art.
Hey,
let me
tell you that the best pass was not in the game. The best pass was that underhanded toss from vessel to vessel as the Lombardi Trophy flies across the water.
In the trophy, in the parade,
my God.
The boat parade that they had. Oh, Brady's like, I got 6 of these, so if it falls in the bay,
it's okay. Right?
That's only crazy. Number 7 for me. So, all right. So, Art, let me ask you about this. I'll shift gears into Spieth mode, and you've been around Spieth. We talked to you a lot of times about Spieth and the history of Jordan, going all the way back to his early days here in Dallas, and now we're seeing a bit of the resurgence of Jordan. The last two tournaments in Phoenix and certainly Pebble Beach, had a chance to win, had leads after seconds and third rounds to go into it. Hasn't been able to close the deal, but got a couple of top fours in both those tournaments. Is that valuable experience for him, in your way of looking at it, Art, or is that just adding to his frustration that he's getting closer but still not holding a trophy?
Oh, I think it's huge validation and huge for him in the head, because I think a lot of what's going on is physical, but I also think it's mental, that he has the confidence that he can really release the club. I love some of the draw shots that he's hitting. That means he's hitting from the inside. I think it was validation. He went and saw Butch Harmon, and he was told he's working on the right stuff. So that's a good thing. But if you'd have talked to him the Friday night of Farmers after missing the cut and told him he was going to have 254-hole leads in a row, I don't think he would have believed it. The driver kind of squeaked. He made 4 bogeys on par fives, and he lost the tournament by 3 shots. And that's just a bad deal. So the driver, at least it is a one-way miss. It is a right miss. I thought it was cool. He took take the driver out on 10 from that new short tee and just blistered it right down there in the neck. He's doing a lot of great things. I see a couple small changes that are technical, where he's getting his right knee closer to his left knee at the finish. That means he's not sliding as much. Again, he does have a one-way miss, which is right, which is a good thing. But 2 guys shot 7 under par on Sunday, and usually when they shoot 7 under, Brooks shot 64 and Berger shot 65. The players that are a few back, at least he shot under par on Sunday. I know it was a little backdoor birdie 17-18, which I think is still awesome. He shot 71-70 on the weekend. I think he has a lot of good positives. Spyglass to me was a big deal for him to play the round. He played at Spyglass. It's the hardcore stuff. I don't know where he's going to play. He'll play Riv, and then I don't know where he qualifies in relationship to the match play. I have not seen the World of Golf rankings. I think he was like 62. Do you guys know where that is? You can maybe have your statistician look that up. I don't know if he gets in that tournament. But in Florida, I think he stays away from PGA National. I don't know if he plays Innisbrook and the Players or Bay Hill and the Players. But the Players, the courses, you'll know when he plays places like TPC Sawgrass, the places that can expose you, you'll know. But I think it's huge because it's confidence. I mean, he holds 2 iron shots. His iron play is great. So I think it's positive.
You're right. If you look at if you look at what he's been
Frank,
doing,
let me just say this. He was 82 starting 2020, 82 in the world, and he's now moved up to 62.
Yeah.
So he's moved up 20 spots, and he's obviously heading in the right direction. Sorry, go ahead, Frank.
That's okay. I was just looking at some stuff on Jordan, and he's 6-for-12 with a 36-hole lead, and 9-for-18 with a 54-hole lead. 50-50, 50%.
Yeah.
So what does that speak to?
To me, Frank, you know, again, you have to look at some situational stuff right there. When players go off and shoot 7-under, 8-under par the last round, that's going to happen. I mean, again, you just bogeying number 2 on Saturday, bogeying 6 and 14 on Sunday. Now, 14 is a real par 5. 14 is like a par 5.5. He hit great drives on 18 each day, which is really good. I mean, Berger knocked it OB right on that hole on Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's like his great drives are awesome. I think he's getting closer. I still believe it is not much more technical fix. It's now mental confidence stuff, I believe. I'm reading the book now, Fearless Golf. And that's the same thing for me. I hold on. I get underneath it. I hit the ball way right. And I've got to have the same mindset on these greens this week. You can't play golf with fear. And he had a lot of confidence stuff that really knocked him down. So I think the technical fixes are important, but the mental aspect that he can go ahead and play now again and let it go is really, really critical. So I think Jordan is on his way to the right stuff.
Yeah, he did say that he admitted in his post-interview that he's, you know, playing with his B game, basically is what he said. I know I'm playing with my B game now. Well, self-awareness is a good thing too. And
well, I'm curious,
but don't
beat
yourself
too.
Down, you know.
Yeah, Art, and we're joined again by Art Selinger. He's joining us from very warm Tampa, Florida. Got to remind you. At least we stay warm through Art. But Art, it bothers me still. And you're talking about the mental game, and you're talking about 14. On both Saturday and Sunday with Jordan Spieth, on Saturday, he puts so much spin that the ball comes back down off the green. And to me, and then on Sunday, in both times, 120 yards, 109 yards, he misses the green completely off to the left. And so
yeah.
He's got that shot. It's I know it's trickier in those circumstances, but it's still a 100-yard shot. It's a wedge shot. And both times, he's got to know after a million rounds of golf not to put so much spin on that false front on four, and yet he still does it. Is that just a mental breakdown? Is it a problem
it
between
is not.
He and
it is a
Greller?
Physical
he and Greller
aspect.
Talk forever.
The guy who takes the spin off the most is Justin Thomas and DJ. They clip it. If you ever watch Jordan hit wedges, the divots you could basically use to plant tomatoes in. You could break your ankle in there. He's very steep with his wedges. Therefore, he puts an incredible amount of spin on the ball and always has. And a dead-armed, shallow clip is really not in his repertoire that much. You have to take out one more club, slow down the arm swing. Very hard to do under pressure. And that green is brutal. But that's just not ever been his forte, is to take spin off the wedges, and it bit him there. Rory's working hard on that. The best there is DJ and then Justin Thomas. They can clip that ball, just come in real shallow, a very minor bacon strip of a divot, if you would, rather than, again, something that you could lose your shoe in, and that's going to happen. I feel bad for Lashley. I mean, again.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Holy smokes.
Oh, God.
You know, who am I to be the Tuesday morning quarterback here, but to take out a club that you can actually hit past the hole on 16 is just a royal mistake. You have to underspin that and be 30 feet underneath it. You cannot hit a golf club that can physically go over that green. And he did. I mean, to me, he was in the driver's seat. I mean, Berger won the golf tournament by eagle in 18, but that was tough to watch.
Have you been in that position before, Art, in tournaments? Have you played and almost been where you want to be and get now down to the final few holes and something just goes haywire and then it kind of really goes haywire? I mean, what did he do, four-putt? Did he four-putt 15?
He four-putted 16 after hitting it over
16,
green.
16.
And again, that green, go try it. You can sit there and go back and forth, you know, and have it, and you could eat a whole sandwich while you're still trying to make that putt. I've had some awful things I don't really want to, you know, repeat on air that have happened to me choking at the end. You know, what I try to do when I'm coming down the stretch is my game is to go to a hard cut off the tee. That's my shot, tee it very low. And then with irons, I will take the shorter club and smash it. So he hit 8-iron there. He could have put a, you know, easy 9-iron or just a just a killer wedge, just whatever. I always go short club firm. That way I'm not trying to hit a little shot. You saw the shot the hole before. The arms outraced the body and hit a flipper in the left bunker. So down the stretch, I've never felt what these guys feel. I don't play the game for a living. I'm playing for a trophy this week, and I'm glad at 55 years old I still get to compete. I still feel it. I played in the last group of the Dixie Amateur, and I felt the nerves, and it was kind of fun, and I hung in there. Yeah. And I want to win one of these tournaments. I want to see if I can – what I will do – I mean, I lost that tournament by 5 shots. I was trying to take second. So I haven't felt it. I missed the U.S. Senior Open by a shot 2 years ago. I felt it on the last hole. I didn't choke. I got beat. Missing the qualify. So I can't imagine what it's like to feel what they feel. Just look how cool guys like – look how good people like Cantlay swing it coming down the stretch and Thomas and these players. I mean, what amazing stuff they can do. Just how they control their tempo and rhythm, their breathing. I can't really relate. I just know that if I'm on that player's bag, we are not hitting a golf club that can go past the hole on 16. Have you all touched on the rangefinder thing yet?
Not yet.
No, it's just
no.
I got it written down. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
I just want to go off on that.
Let me set the scene. So the PGA of America, if I've got this correct, is now allowing at least in the three big tournaments, the PGA Championship, Senior PGA, and Women's PGA Championship, to allow rangefinders during the tournament. Certainly, guys and caddies could have used them all week leading up to and all that stuff, but nobody's been allowed to use them out on the golf course when you're actually playing the tournament. And arguments have been made it might speed it up, it might make things simpler. You don't see the caddies having to walk off yardage from a tree marker or a marker in the ground or whatever. And so here they're going to try to do it. And for what reasons? I've also seen, and maybe you guys have as well, that maybe it's a money thing, right? That the PGA of America is also about what goes on in the pro shop. We got to sell equipment. We got to sell gear. We got to do this. So will it help us with selling gear in the pro shops for all these 30,000 PGA pros around the country to sell more rangefinders or more equipment? So there's the kind of the two different ideas of what's happening here. And go ahead, Art, what are your thoughts on it?
Oh, dear God. They're not going to sell any more rangefinders because they're using them. It is not going to speed up play whatsoever. The one situation it would have sped up play was Jordan Spieth when he won the Open Championship in 17. When it took so long to get a number. But as Paul Tesori, Webb Simpson's caddy, was stated, the 5% of what these players want to know is actually how far that flag is. They need a front yardage. They need a yardage over a little mound in the green. They need a cover yardage over the bunker. They need to know how many yards there is behind the hole. It is only the McKenzie Tour, which is part of the PGA Tour in Canada, where I've caddied for Jamie Sedlowski many times. Yeah. They allow the range finders. What do we still do? I still have a book in my pocket. I still get him the number. Through the book, I give him his front yardage, which is the most important yardage, his cover yardage, and how many yards behind the hole. And then what does he do? Then he uses a stupid range finder just to make sure I'm correct. It takes 6 hours to play out there.
It's
going to make play
slow it down.
Go slower.
Yep.
And it's also going to make a very, very marginal caddy have a little better chance to be a better caddy than a caddy like Tesori and the caddies like that. It is going to have no effect whatsoever. They're still going to use their books, which have been lasered, which have been walked off. The book is still the Bible. They don't make any more money because they're selling. Maybe they signed a deal with Bushnell as a sponsor, but pros in the shops aren't going to.
No.
I'm not going to sell any more rangefinders at my shop because they're using them. I mean, it's the rangefinder.
So what do you think the reason is then? What would be the reason for them to do it?
I don't understand the reason. I don't have that answer. I think they just want golf to look like we play it on the weekend because I will use
current,
the range finder. You know,
sure.
Listen, when I walk out today to this tournament, if there's a book sold in that shop, this kid's buying this book. The first thing I will do, the range finder's backup. I need to know the front edge. It's all I ever care about. How many yards so I can putt? I need to know what I have behind the hole. I need to know what it is to cover stuff. So where I hit it sometimes way offline, it will definitely save me some time. Because I remember caddying for Jamie, he'd hit it so far right a couple times. I'd walk up to the top of the hill where I could see the pin. I'd shoot the pin, yeah, and then I'd turn backwards and shoot his golf bag, and then I'd have the number. So there's situations where it will give a player a number, and it's on very wild right or left shots. But it will not speed up play. It's not – they're not going to not put the book away. The PGA Tour tried it at the Corn Ferry and said no. They're not going to allow it because, again, it's – you either take away the book and say use the rangefinder, and that's it. I think what needs to go is the greens book, personally. That's what, to me, needs to go. But I don't see the yardage book going away anytime soon, and I don't understand this move. It will not.
So if you're playing though, Art, if you go put, if you and I and Frank go play today, right? Just front, friends playing friends. We either all or one of us has a rangefinder, and we all ask the other guy who has one what they're using. So when you say it's not going to lead to more sales or more people, don't the regular amateurs? We don't have books, and you're not going to go in your local pro shop or certainly around the road somewhere playing with your friends and buy a book. That's what I'm saying. So you've got rangefinders, but everything about a golf is about getting the newest, latest, right? We've all got golf clubs. You're not going to buy another set. Wait. So don't you think they're still going to want to use amateurs, are still going to want to say, I need that latest, greatest? Because why am I looking at a book that's going to give me all these, when I can pull the thing out immediately and look right here and say the front of the green is 109 yards?
They've already got them, and they buy them on Amazon, okay? They're not going to buy them from the pro shop. They're going to buy them from the cheapest thing they can get, most of them. And here's the deal. Here's what drives me nuts with the rangefinder. Okay, so I'm playing with a couple of dweebs that haven't purchased one, okay? And I'm sitting there with the latest and greatest rangefinder. We'll just use Frank. Frank, what do you got there? Give me a shot. So it screws your game up. It screws my game up.
It does. All your friends keep asking you, and you're like, when did I become?
Go to Amazon.com, jerk, and buy one.
I know.
That makes me crazy. The book, I love the book. I have books on courses I play, and I love those books. Now, Art wants to do away with the green book, and I understand that. I fully understand the greens book.
Greens book is different than the yardage book.
It is.
The greens book is giving you percentage of slope on greens, and that is leading to much slower play.
Heat map, everything. Yeah.
I don't like the greens
DeChambeau
book, but
right. DeChambeau's with that greens book
is important.
Yeah. That book, I mean, is invaluable to amateurs if they know how to read it. That's the thing. But I haven't seen any amateurs with the greens book. I mean, not many at all.
No. And I'm sitting here talking about amateurs should use the rangefinder. Amateurs should not use a yardage book. Tournament players use a yardage book. The amateur needs to know how far the flag is from where they're at. Plus, it's on almost 80% of GPSs are also on your golf cart, right in your little TV that's in the window of the golf cart. These are tour professionals. And again, when I'm in the middle of the fairway with my player, I've caddied a dozen PGA Tour events, at least a dozen web and a dozen Canadian events in Asia. And y'all know I've worked with Jamie and I caddied for him. And listen, I go up to him. He's like, what do we got? Jamie, 133 front edge, 141 covers the bunker on the right, 151 hole, you have 8 behind it. That's it. Those are the numbers. I mean, honestly, the actual pin is the last thing we worry about. We worry about other kind of numbers. We're trying to hit pockets and things like
proximity,
that. Where you're trying to hit it.
Yeah.
But that's tour golf. And for the PGA of America to take their three premier events and think, number one, is this going to speed up play? I just think they want golf to look like golf, like it does at the country club or at the amateur,
probably,
in the public golf course. That's really it. It's not, I don't think there's any financial. It's just about how it looks.
Well, let's just put a beer cart out there while we're at it.
Thank you.
Seriously. That's not a bad idea, Frank.
I'll drink to that.
Hey, we're joined by Art Selinger talking about golf right now, talking about the rangefinders. But it makes me think, too, Art, about going back, if we could, to Pebble Beach and to Spieth. And maybe this will never change because maybe it's what he's always been. But, again, we're talking about the yardage and things. And you're right, there's such a difference between what we all do and what those guys do on the tour. But he sits there and goes over the rotation of the earth, how many blades of grass are blowing from the south to the right to the – and Michael, what do you think? And Michael, is he too much in his head? Now, again, maybe he won't ever change that, but I sit there going, Jordan, it's 109 yards. You got the numbers you just spoke of, Art. Just hit your wedge, hit your club, and be confident about it. He is going through so many things in his head that I think he stands over that ball and isn't really, really sure which of those numbers are the ones that he's going to swing with.
I think here's the only defense. A tour player from a number can hit three different golf clubs and probably six different golf shots from high, medium to low. And when Lashley's 138 and he chipped an 8-iron on 18, on number 15, he could have hit wedge. He could have hit nine, and he could have hit eight. And so it's you can they can hit three clubs from a certain number. Is he overthinking it? Yeah, you know, that's – yeah, but he's also won 11 times in three majors, and he's also a Hall of Fame player already. So who am I to say? He's just – they have a lot of options. And, yes, I think it's a little convoluted, and I think that he could be a little more freed up. Nobody does it better than DJ. You know, he just sees it, pulls a wrench – hits it and goes and finds it, and you can't tell if he's 10 under or 10 over, and that's why he's the number one player in the world, you know. So I can't really judge Jordan. I just know that these players, when they're 165 with the left to right wind, he can hit a little turnover 6-iron. He can ride the wind and hit an 8. He can hit a little medium flighted 7. He could just they can just do so many things. That's what golf becomes at the high level. When I'm out there in this week, I do not think about swing. I try to select a shot that I can execute and pick a club that I feel confident with. I have zero swing thoughts. It's what shot. I'm a shot selector and a club selector, and that can become a little cumbersome. Just try to keep it simple. But he's definitely over it. He's joining the party. Yeah. They don't. Well, hey, put the shot clock on.
He's getting
it in Europe. I want the shot clock. Yep. If I had a vote, put the shot clock on these players.
Yeah. I mean, Berger sits over putts for what? 3 or 4 minutes, like DeChambeau?
Ooh.
And he looks and he looks and really stands over it and backs up again and goes again. It drives me crazy. If they want to make improvements, you're right, and get people to get into golf, it's like, okay, let them. They don't have to play at NBA level, but yeah, get a shot clock. Get them moving out there. Hey, Art, by the way, you're playing at the, we mentioned this before, the Gasparilla Invitational, a big senior amateur tournament that's being played in the Tampa area. When you play, is it a three-day tournament, 4 days?
It is a three-day tournament, 2 days, and then a cut, tops, whatever. I don't know how many make the cut. So that's Thursday and Friday. Then the final round will be Saturday. And I'm going to play practice round today and tomorrow. I'm going to get out there early and try to get a feel for these greens. I've actually switched golf balls. I got scared to death enough to play a softer golf ball because these greens I hear are just concrete. Yeah. So I usually play a much harder golf ball, and I'm going to play a softer ball. I'm trying to get used to that. Definitely. With distances of irons, I'm at least a half a club shorter with it, and it spins more, goes higher. So I'm excited. I love tournament golf. It's such a
that's what I was wondering about.
You talked about getting back into it.
Yeah, are you having fun? You're seeing the same kind of guys. You're saying, hey, how you doing, Bob? How's it going? You're seeing guys.
No,
are you enjoying the whole event?
No. I haven't played tournament golf since I was in college, and I dabbled a little. I was fortunate. I probably played 5 events on the equivalent of what's the Corn Ferry. I played 2 European tour events, a couple Asian tour events. My tournament experience, other than at the club level, I mean, so I win the senior 4 seasons, you know, club championship. Yeah. Okay. I played state amateur. Okay. So this national thing, yes, I'm really excited that I have the luxury to be able to travel and play tournament golf, and I'm trying to win a trophy, right? And I'm spending money, and that's fine. But I tee it up, and I tell you what, it feels cool again because I remember my junior golf days and my college days, and I just think it is fun. I'm really not here to – some of these guys are here for the party, in a sense, to, you know, get away – from their lives and, you know, let loose and whatever. I'm here really to compete, not to where I'm going to get so upset if I play bad. I don't do that. So I like it. I think it's going to be fun.
You're going to have a blast. You're going to love the golf course, though, as far as the history of that course. And
right.
Just, you're going to love it. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Looking forward to it.
Well, we'll let you go. But by the way, if you had to go put money on it, you heads up, straight up, against Tony Romo. Two great amateur golfers.
Mm.
Would you beat Tony?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't want to sit here and brag or whatever. I don't know. My game is...
That's okay. Go ahead.
In tournaments, I mean, he's a really good amateur player. I mean, a really good... He has no business playing professional golf. You know, he's a very, very good amateur player. I wouldn't want to gamble with somebody who's worth as much money as him because he can afford to lose before they
doesn't
play
mean
better.
Anything. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a really solid, legit amateur player. I think you can ask me, I'm going to play 16 tournaments this year. So by the end of the year, I think I'm going to be in a much better place. I mean, I shot 75, 71, 75 at a very hard Eagle Trace golf course with 13 holes that had water on it. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like, I'll leave it with this, boys, playing country club golf on the weekend and doing what I call taking and raking 3-foot putts, not playing by the rules and not putting everything to the bottom of the hole and having to put a score on the board is so different than your average everyday golf where, you know, people take two off the tee, people roll it around a little bit. They don't tell you what, you go try putting on 3 or 4 footers that break 6 inches on greens that are rolling 12. Good luck to you. Go see what you shoot. You know, you shoot 78 with your buddies and then all of a sudden that turns into 88. So it's it's hard. Yeah. It's hard.
Do you carry your own bag? Do you get a golf cart? What do you guys do?
Yeah, thank goodness, because my knee surgery, I would not be able to make it walking. You're in a cart. And so you do have that option. That's a good thing. So especially because I'm just recovering. I've only played 5 rounds since the middle of December with my knee being the way it is. So maybe 6 since I've been down here in Florida for a while. So, but yes, a cart.
Well, good luck to you.
And we'll see what happens. And you know, Timmy, you know me, I might have to sneak a cocktail or two before I tee it up. Just to get the haters out there, boys.
Whatever works, Dr.
Right.
Schellinger. You're the doctor. You know what's best.
Raise one for me too.
I will do it. Stay warm. Thanks for having me. Rangefinders suck on tour golf. Just remember that. Go Jordan.
Play well, Art.
Take care, buddy.
Have fun.
We'll see you later. All right. Art Schellinger. Always got something on his mind, so he will he'll make sure he gets that vaccination, if you know what I mean, Frank, with my air quotes. Vaccination before he starts playing.
I understand that, yes. He's going to have fun there. That's a hell of a golf course.
That's really cool. I mean, what a small world, right, that he's playing this tournament.
Yeah.
You didn't know that till this morning, and you're like, wow, that's my
you
old
said,
club.
When you said the Gasparilla Invitational, I'm like, well, that's an amateur tournament. And I wasn't thinking right. Of course, I did spend a long time in front of the Glenlivet. I mean, the TV last night, so...
cold, Frank. I mean,
I'm iced in. This is nuts.
What are you gonna do?
Can't even get up
my
driveway.
At a picture here. If you go to GasparillaInvitational.com, and it's kind of neat because they've got an old hue, if you will, kind of that brownish golden hue to all the pictures to make it look like it's old.
The old acetone
film.
Acetate.
What a beautiful looking clubhouse.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
What a great looking beautiful clubhouse with the. Kind of colonial-ish, I guess.
Yes.
White kind of looking.
It's very,
very pretty palm trees out front.
Colonial nice. Country club stylish, maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
With a Florida spin looking. On it. Yeah.
And you enjoyed your time there, huh?
Oh, God. Tampa? Are you kidding me? I lived in South Tampa.
I lived within a half
a mile of that club. So,
And as challenging as it was, did you enjoy playing it?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, was it always
No. I mean, it's like bluegrass, you know, bluegrass golf and country club or yacht and country club that I'm a member of here in Nashville, Hendersonville. Club Corp property, by the way, who is our sponsor, our beloved Club Corp. It's a lot like that. It's tree lined. Now, we're not a Ross course, but it's tough. And bluegrass is a very, very, very difficult golf course. You got to play it smart. I mean, really smart. And I'm talking, you know, don't try to muscle it because it'll bite you. And that's the same way with Palmacia. And it's got the old clubhouse, you know, and the old bar. The men's bar is great and oaky. And, oh, yeah, it's just, it's the best. Fun place.
Maybe I'll talk to Art later, and I'll have him make sure if he has any questions. Is your memory clear on this golf course?
Yeah.
Art needs a little few pointers.
I don't want to give Art advice on that golf course because I don't.
Okay.
Art's game is not my game. So,
yeah.
You know, Art, you know, Art's idea of a 9-iron is 190 yards. So.
Yeah.
I mean, he does.
Well, I'm so excited for him, though. I mean, it's really nice that he's getting his chance to kind of relive,
you know,
a lot of his, like you said, his old days ago, and then now Art's mid-50s, and it's kind of neat that he's
what we
out
need,
there. He is right.
What we need to do is get
say,
Art
is right
up
that
at French Lick.
There's some great amateurs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes, that would be fun.
There are amateurs out there that the tour players are afraid of. I mean, I'm serious.
Light you up. Yeah.
Yep.
And they have no fear. Some of these guys, like we're talking about Romo, well, yeah, he can outspend everybody. And if he loses 10 grand, who cares? But.
Well, that's the intimidation factor. That, okay, 10,000 for this hole. I mean. What do I?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I mean, that's a huge part of it. A huge part.
Yeah,
you could be a really good golfer, but if you're not used to playing money games, which is going back to the old. Well, way before Tom Watson, but Trevino and those guys, but still to this day, Phil.
Titanic
they're like,
Thompson.
That's what makes you a good golfer. That's what makes you a good golfer is knowing that
pressure.
I got to pull money out of my pocket. Yeah, and that's the pressure of not just losing and kind of going, too bad, let's go have a beer. It's losing and pulling out your wad of bills and going, okay, here you go. You know, that hurts. And so that's kind of why a lot of those guys
do you take
always
a check?
Play. And even when remember, well, like Phil will tell you, when they bring a young guy on like Spieth or any
he
young
brutalizes
Justin
them.
Thomas.
Yeah.
When they were young guys and they're just rookies on the tour, hey, let's go play. And the guy walks away losing 20 grand. And Phil's like, you got to learn somehow. That's how you learn. The guy's going, I better make the cut, mom, dad, because, I just lost 20 grand to Phil. I'm making that up. I don't know what all the numbers are, but I'm saying it. Phil was big on saying, let's play for money because it'll matter and it'll get you in the right headspace.
Well, he's not
going to be playing out on tour.
Hey, let's face it. He's not Professor Phil Mickelson. He's not doing it to help him out. He's doing it to take their money. That's Phil. You know, he just, okay, it'll help him out in the long run, but Phil's a competitor. I mean, big time. You know that. I mean,
yes,
I
think there's an altruistic. Yeah, there's an altruistic thing about
maybe
it.
Maybe now.
I think they really do think this is kind of how you get indoctrinated under the tour. And, we know you can go shoot a 64. Let's see you shoot a 64 if we're playing, you know, all the games, Frank. But, you know, $2,000 a hole and this and this and this and double when you're down. And next thing you know, your mind's kind of into zeros and stuff when you're trying to make a putt going, how much am I going
to
miss?
We used to play for $1 a hole, right? $100 a hole, automatic one downs, double on birdies, greenies, and sandies. Now, if you think that game can't get away from you, it can tear automatic one downs.
I don't play for a lot of money, but give me an idea. On a bad day, what would somebody have lost in that game?
$3,000.
Yeah,
maybe.
Okay.
As an amateur.
Same thing on the good side? You'd win $3,000?
Yeah,
Yeah, because that can hurt.
Automatic one
down. You always had to pay right. Did you have to pay right there?
Yeah.
Or did you have a little account going?
Well, no. It wasn't like No. You had to pay. It was like,
so
I want the money. It wasn't like, okay, well, next week we'll see. At the end of the month, we'll settle up. It wasn't that way. It was like, give me the money. Well, that's the way my dad played with me. He'd make me fess it up at the end of the round if I didn't have it. He wouldn't take a check. He'd say, go to the bank and get it.
Yeah.
No checks.
I had a friend, Frank, that played, speaking of Club Corp, is at a Club Corp golf course here.
There's no gambling at Club Corp courses.
Las Colinas Country Club. And he was new to town, right? He was a media guy that came here and became a big media guy here in Dallas, but new to town, so a long, long time ago. And goes and he's just checking out this course. And guy says, hey, why don't you play with these guys? You know, Frank and Tim. And okay, yeah, I'll do that. So, okay, we're going to find out, you know, if you can like the course or not like it, see if you like the guys and all that. And as they get ready to tee off, he says, here's the game we play. And he kind of explains it, right? Well, there's a lot of us, that especially guys that don't play for a lot of money oftentimes, you just kind of nod your head, right? Oh, yeah, okay. And it doesn't sound like, just like you said, it's a little bit here, a little bit there. And it kind of. But then there's the whole, if you miss this and then you do this, and then it carries over. Next thing you know, after nine holes, and he's a decent golfer, he's down like $1,500.
Yeah.
And he's thinking he might lose $100, $200. And he's like, that's cool. I'm fine. But he's down $1,500, and they tell him that. And they make it clear that we pay up after the round, like in case you don't know because you don't know us. He calls his wife and he says, you got to bring me some money. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he explains. And, of course, that's the call no guy ever wants to make.
Oh, no, because now his wife's pissed.
You know what she's going to say is like, I'm sorry, you're down how much? And you're like, what? So sure enough, she has to go to ATMs and try. He says, I scrambled my butt off, the lesson learned, and at the end of the day, only lost like $400. And he said, I was, because he goes, I'm on my way to losing $2,000 or $3,000 and thinking I'm just going to cry in my car for the next 4 hours. But that's the point of when you play for that kind of money, when you get into those games, it's a whole nother mindset. But sometimes it's not fun either. Am I right on that? I mean,
yeah, it is
kind of getting on to your friends, and your friends are getting on you. And did you double hit that ball? Did you mark it right? I don't want to get into those games.
No, I don't either. I play it for fun.
You know, they're like, yeah,
I play it for fun.
Sometimes those big money games, there's guys there that damn well they're going to get every dime in there. And I'm going, well, dude, he's gritting his teeth. He almost wants to fight people. I just don't like those games, right? I don't like being around. So I don't mind playing a game where you can lose a few bucks, win a few bucks, and it makes it competitive and fun.
Yeah.
But not to the point where guys are going to get their guns out of their car. You know? What do you mean you don't have your money?
I'll
be right back.
Go get Bruiser. He'll get the money from you.
Yeah.
Frank's car screeching out of the parking lot.
Had that happen.
Was that Bassett? Did Bassett just leave?
It happened to me at a Calcutta down in Tampa, Florida one time when I played so well. Everybody bet our team. Everybody bought our team. It was unbelievable. We were shoeing. I went out, stayed out half the night, and ended up shooting a 92 or something the next day. Went from even par to 20 over or something. It was just got awful. And my buddy said, look, when you finish on 18, I'm going to have the car ready. Get your ass in the car. We're getting out of here. And we did.
Leave your clubs if you have to.
Yeah.
Just run. Yeah.
Cheap at any price.
I played with a friend of mine at his club championship last fall, and I played poorly, really poorly, for three rounds, and I felt very bad about it because I was like, and he's like, hey, don't worry about it. We're having fun. I go, I'm not having fun because I know he put some money in a Calcutta, and he goes, hey, don't worry about that. It's just me. I'm just doing what – but I know I cost him money, and whether he could afford it or not wasn't the point. It was like
another
bad shot for me was a bad shot times 10 because I'm going, oh, it's not just me, and I'm letting him down. Yeah. You know he wants to sit there and scream at me, but he's just trying to be nice going, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And I'm going – I know I'm better than this, but you know, it
sounds like how Robert Steele felt when he played for the Cowboys, Remember that? Dropped a couple of balls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, well, you know what? I was saying French Lick. We got to thank our sponsors, Club Corp, for one, clubcorp.com. Go be a member for a day. Go to clubcorp.com, folks. And also,
the French Lick Resort.
Got to tell you, and Brendan Sweeney, our buddy from the French Lick Resort, and Dave Harner, who's the director of golf operations, they're ready to kick off the season. And it's getting closer than you think, even though I'm staring out the window at massive amounts of snow in my front yard, which you never see in Nashville. You just don't see this here. But the French Lick Resort is fabulous. The Donald Ross course, the Pete Dye course, the Tom Bendelow course. They have foot golf for the kids, spas. They got it all. But I'd love to get Artie up there and put him on the Pete Dye course, and because Art, former world long drive champion, put him back on the back tees at 8,102 yards, and you and I'll go up and play the forward tees, otherwise, the skirt tees. Shouldn't say it that way. We'll play the forward tees, and we'll play Art for $100 a hole.
Yep, that would be okay, crazy. We have a casino. Well, is there a casino nearby too?
There's
we make it up at the casino.
We can make it up at the casino. Yeah.
Look at that.
There
Look
you
at
go.
That.
That'd be fun though to get Art up there on that golf course. To be honest,
it would be fun.
And then go play the Donald Ross course. Two totally separate worlds. It's like
I believe he.
It's like playing Las Colinas in your neck of the woods, or Prestonwood, where you're a member, Club Corp, or playing Bluegrass here, or Temple Hills here in Nashville, which is a Club Corp property.
I think. If I remember, we've talked to Art about French Lick, and he has played, what's the long course there? He's played the tips. Isn't there one that's almost 8,000?
8,102. That's 8, the Pete Dye course.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, he's played the tips there. And I'm like,
has he?
I'm pretty positive about that. I go, what the heck are you drinking?
Why?
8,100 yards. Well,
Grey Goose. But why would you?
Yeah. Because that's what he does. I mean, back in his prime, right? I mean, he's a long drive guy. So, yeah, the distance wasn't really the problem. He had, if you hit it 350, 370 off the tee, then, they're reasonable holes, I guess, for you.
Well, now the PGA Tour is the long drive competition, It really is.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Much. All right.
Crazy
stuff.
Well,
we're done. We're finished.
It's going to be a good week. It's going to thaw out. You're going to be in the 70s next week. We're going to be in the 60s, 70s next week. I'm ready to play some golf.
There's always golf around the corner, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. And again, thanks to Club Corp for being such a great sponsor. Go to clubcorp.com. Anywhere you are in the country, over 250 courses all over that you can find your perfect course and be a member at clubcorp.com. Thanks also to Art Sellinger for joining us and having a hopefully very good Gasparilla Invitational in Tampa this week coming up. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you, everybody, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.